Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hang in there,
dude,
it is.
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
All right, what's up, guys? Another episode here at The Smiley Show, and this is family joining us here today. This is Colby Tullier. I mean, this guy was my trainer when I was on the PGA Tour and really one of my best friends out there as well. You spend a lot of time with your team out there, and Colby, I would probably say this. I would have not ended up winning on the PGA Tour and, you know, reaching my dreams really if it wasn't for you, man. I think back to those days in that little small gym in Baton Rouge, man. We go a long way back.
We do, man. It was an honor to be on your team, and it was a blessing to be able to be on your journey as well. So I think like I said earlier, like you like the OG stable guy. Like you've been the stable. We've been that. Like I tell people all the time, like if I had to pick, you know, a specific person out of the beginning, I mean, you would have to be one of the main ones that I would mention and from my journey as well. Just made me who I am today, the man I am, the trainer I am, like all those days just trying to get better and pushing each other and showing up at 4:30 in the morning in a little gym in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and standing on the range behind the U Club till 10 o'clock at night. I mean, it was amazing. Exactly. Thinking back on it now, yeah, we still get a kick out of it. Here we are now.
And Colby, you just kind of mentioned your journey. I mean, you have an interesting journey. You didn't just get here off of, you know, somebody else's back. I mean, you were somebody that spent a lot of time not only working on yourself, but, you know, you put in a lot of hours and you bet on yourself as well. Just kind of go through your story from just the issues you had at birth with two club feet to, you know, betting on yourself and training to where you are today.
Yeah, I mean, I think my journey basically started just at birth. You know, I was born crippled. I had a birth defect where the doctors basically told my parents I wouldn't walk. I had less than a 75% chance that I would, that, you know, I would have to be either in a wheelchair with a walker or something. So I think just that beginnings for me, it kind of pushed me into where I am now. And I had to fall in love with the body at a very young age, you know, because I mean, with surgeries and learning how to walk 3 and 4 times growing up, and you know, I had the Forrest Gump braces, and you know, looked like a stormtrooper with braces running out of my pants and stuff like that. So I mean,
it couldn't have been easy.
It was a difficult journey, but it was something that I look back now, like I wouldn't change it. You know, I mean, it made me have to find a way to adapt and to be able to like be faithful with something and really have to just face it head on. And that's what I try to do with my athletes. That's what I tried to do. I try to instill that in these guys that, you know, like, you know, if you bet on yourself, like there's no better person to bet on as yourself. It's just your belief system. It's how hard you're willing to put the work in. Like, right. And you know, I can say that I had those moments where, you know, I could have been like, you know, I really don't want to walk today, but if I don't, like, I'm not going to get better. So, it was just things like that. So, and then, you know, fast forward into my career, like, I think that's really what pushed me. Like, I started out in the hospital world and, you know, did cardiac pulmonary rehab, and I stayed in the therapy areas and wanted to learn as much as I could about the body and get better. And I knew all those steps. Like, I worked in physical therapy, I worked in cardiac pulmonary rehab, I sat in on, you know, surgeries, like with, you know, great men like Mark Feel and Baton Rouge and all these different guys, Tyler LaFosse and those guys at Baton Rouge Physical Therapy, Seth Kaplan, those guys, like all those men, I surrounded myself because I knew it would make me a better trainer. So when I did go out and I opened my first gym when I was 23 years old, you know, back then. So it was like, I knew I had to bet on myself. It was go time. You know, I didn't have anybody to fall back on. It was like, I floated everything my parents owned, like their land, their house. You know, I was a half a million dollars in debt.
Like, what, isn't there a little bit more to that story as well? Like, like when your dad like about to retire?
Oh, my dad was retiring. Yeah. My dad was 2 weeks away from retiring from the state police, and my mother had just retired from the sheriff's office. So we were, you know, humble beginnings and really didn't have much, but we had land and we had a house. So I basically went to my dad at 23 years old and said, I need everything because I want to go open this gym. And he was just like,
man.
Okay. So, you know, 23 man. Years old, you know, I'm like $500,000 in debt. I can't even count that high. So I'm just like, okay. And I moved back in with my parents and I started going to work like at 4:30 every morning, coming home at 10 o'clock every night. And then, you know, luckily I basically just hit the ground running, and like in less than 3 years, I paid it all off.
Really?
You know, yep. Paid it all
off.
Where
was that gym, Colby?
The first gym was on Corporate Boulevard in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay.
So the first gym I had was called Body Mechanics. And
was that the one I went to?
That was the one you went to first. And then we moved to
that was the gym. That's the OG gym. The one
that's
I went
to. That's the OG
to.
Gym. The, okay. fun, the one you went to. That was when you and Loop and yep. Peterson, you guys were in there. And that's when I started with the LSU golf team and stuff because of you guys. And then mm-hmm. it just kind of snowballed from there. Then I moved to the one on College Drive. And then that's when I got bought out. And then I went work at Traction. At
that's right.
One.
Yep. We yeah. were there for a little bit. I recall yep. that because, yeah, it was John Peterson and Andrew Loop were the first two guys that I, at least from the golf team, that started working with you mm-hmm. and getting stronger. And I really noticed Peterson was, I could just see him starting to fill out more, but he was doing like mm-hmm. a different style workout. You know, it wasn't like just heavy, you know, bench press, max stuff. It was, mm-hmm. it was noticeable. And I think that to me, once I like my senior year, I realized that I was actually capable of being a professional golfer and I started getting better. I was like, holy crap. I'm 150 pounds. Like I've got to get stronger. And
that's right. Yeah.
I think I called you because I was having issues like behind my my left scap before Q school. And I was like, mm-hmm. hey, Wayne, you got to get me right.
Yep. Yep. I remember. So we got together, went there, had a screen, see that how everything was moving, how everything was working. And it's like you said, like it was a little different and it still is different. Like when people see like what we do and what I do with my athletes, you know, my big thing is strength is the easiest thing in the world to do. Yeah. Like if I need to get you stronger, I can do that. But now it's like when you take an athlete and you train them in the arena that they work in, like if you play a rotary sport. So how, when we challenge you dynamically, mm-hmm. how do we change the force vectors and we change all those applied vectors to you? How does your body respond to that? Are you going to be, like I tell you all the time, like the club doesn't move till you pick it up. So if people tell you that doesn't have to do with how your body moves, like I would disagree. But then also too, like if you get real strong, but you don't build the capacity to be able to handle the strength, it's like shooting a cannon out of a canoe. So we always talk about that. Like, you're no good shooting a cannon out of a canoe. Mm-hmm. It just falls over.
I'm a kayak
so my
guy,
goal
but canoe works.
Is, my goal for you is to be able to build you from the ground up, from the inside out. And then if we can identify those imbalances and weaknesses, you already know. Like when you're dealing with pro athletes, just athletes in general, like you know where to find, how to find the face. So my goal is if I can find some imbalances or weaknesses, eliminate those on you, then now you become the best golfer you can be.
Yeah. And all that makes sense. And, when you typically get, whether it's a professional golfer, or another athlete from another sport or just somebody that mm-hmm. is coming in trying to get stronger and, you know, more flexible and more mobile, you know, what, when you do a screening, what are some of the main things that you're looking for and what's the percentages that are kind of normal? Where do you want your golfers to be at? Where do you want your athletes to be at, whether it's hip, shoulder, whatever it is?
Yeah. I mean, the first part of the screen is going to be a human movement concept. I want to see how the body moves. Like we know that we have normal ranges of motion in the joints, in the hips, in the ankle, in the shoulder and stuff like that. So thoracic spine, et cetera. So I want to see how your body moves first off. So mm-hmm. if I look at how your hips move, and if I say normal range of motion is 45 degrees just for normal people.
Yeah.
But now we are an elite golfer and we're trying to win majors and we're trying to win golf tournaments and I test your hip mobility and you're 15 and 10.
That ain't it.
So now I know like we've got a serious imbalance, asymmetry, a power gap that's stopping you from now. I used to tell you this all the time, like some of the best athletes in the world. Well, the best athletes in the world, but they literally are doing it with half of their body.
Yeah.
So for me, from the training concept, if I just put you and just put you onto a bunch of weight and go, okay, squat this, lift this, throw this, do this, you're like, okay, well, you're getting a lot stronger, but I'm not addressing the 10 degrees and 15 degrees. Mm-hmm. And that 10 degrees and 15 degrees is when you're trying to load your right hip. It's not loading. Mm-hmm. So now you're fake turning. Now you're sliding in front of it. Mm-hmm. Now it's getting behind you. So you got all this strength, but it's just a complete debacle from a training concept or just an activation standpoint. So now if you got 10 degrees of internal rotation in your lead hip, now you're coming out of your golf posture.
Yeah, you're early extending,
and then we wonder
right?
why people have, yeah. So, and what happens is now when you think about the training, so if I teach you how to just do a bunch of squats, some linear squats and train you stationary and linear, and then I tell you to swing a golf club in a transverse plane, you're like, I have no idea what to do. So most people just pick it straight up and they just stand straight up and just chop across the top of it. So when you start to slow it all down and start peeling the layers back, now you start to see human movement is one thing. And now we got to go from here. Or do we lose external rotation in the golf posture? Does your scap glide the way it needs to glide? Mm-hmm. Do you have the core strength to be able to even hold your posture at address? Sitting or hitting 1,000 putts and things like that to where now you got soft tissue stuff that we got to address because of things like that. So for me, it's all about taking an athlete and challenge you dynamically in those specific arenas with vectors and see how your body adapts. And we fix that. Now all of a sudden, I always tell you, like, I don't want you to stand over any lie and not be able to hit the ball.
Yeah, good point.
If I train you in these different vectors and these different arenas, these unstable surfaces, I might put you on one leg. I might do this because I'm cutting your body in half and in quadrants. And I want to see how it works. Posterior chain, anterior chain, sagittal plane, transverse plane, like all these different things because the body moves in so many different facets. And what we do is we take athletes, and I'll get off my soapbox in a second, but we take athletes and we train them stationary and up and down. And then we say, okay, now go swing this golf club.
Right.
100 times at 120 miles an hour.
Good luck.
You know, into your lead hip. Yeah. So
something's going to break down.
Correct. So you only got so many, right? And that was my goal for all you guys is my goal is to cut. If I can get your body activated and the motor calibrated to where now when you walk out there, like I tell people, just aim your gun now, like just go because the body can do it. Like, well, I think we don't need to get – we get your body ready to go play golf.
Yeah.
And if I can do that in 20 minutes and hopefully I can take 30 – I can maybe take 30 minutes off the range time because, like, now you're able to get through the ball on swing one because, like, your body's ready to go.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And I know you've trained a bunch of other athletes as well. And let's just talk about some of those athletes, whether it's somebody that comes to mind, they walk in the door, they couldn't be more strong. And you're like, this dude is a all whatever, all pro, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And their right side does not work at all. And that could be a running back. How many times has that happened? Where
all the time
an athlete comes in, they all their the body don't work. And you're like, oh my God,
it's just crazy. And they're like a 9-year MLB guy, you know? So a perfect example is like, it was the same thing. Like a 9-year MLB guy comes in, he's made it. Like he's in the big leagues, but someone like Paul Goldschmidt, like he had a loading issue. Like, so he was having trouble loading his right hip. Okay. So basically we looked at the screen, how his body was moving. I started challenging him. He had trouble on his right leg. He had trouble like extending. He had trouble loading. He had trouble like getting internally into his hip, like more upright. And then once we correct the patterns and got him, he won the NOMVP.
He's a big dude, 35
years old. And he's a huge dude. So there's not enough weight in the gym for him. Mm-hmm. Like if I did the weight training with him, I'd be like, okay, go do this. And he would lift whatever I told him to do. Or I'd say, all right, go do this. And he'd lift whatever I told him to do. But when I started to challenge him horizontal and lateral, he had trouble with his lateral load and movement through that pattern.
Yeah.
So as strong as he was in that specific arena, he was weak.
Mm-hmm.
So once we identified what was going on, once we fixed it, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, he literally loses the Triple Crown by 6 home runs, you know, and he wins the NLVP at 35
years
old.
So I mean, it's like, it just shows you.
So those are the things. And then you take, and you just look at the golfers, like it's the same thing. I meet Justin Thomas, he's 145 pounds, you know, and I'm like, well, look, man, like we just got to get you stronger. Number one. Because like, and what's so great about him and what people don't understand is he optimizes every principle of his body. Mm-hmm. Everything for JT optimizes at its highest level for him to compete. Because when you're 145 pounds, you're not going against a 220 pound, you know, you're competing against the Roms and the DJs and the Brooks and all this other. So, I mean, he's got to optimize it even more. Like he literally optimizes, peaks everything. So from a training concept, like that's how we have to train. So we got to basically take what he has, create the strength, continue to build the mobility and the stability, create the medial glute activation, the glute medius activation, to stabilize his right side for him to get deeper into his right hip before he can clear better, because that's the way he uses the ground so effectively. Like, his clear is completely different than the way you clear.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still, when you think about human movement, like, those are the things we got to address. So we're constantly, like, just someone like JT, we're constantly always addressing the right side, because he's going to feel his right side more than his left side. Like, everything JT feels from a golf standpoint, like, he can tell the difference between his right side and his left side. Mm-hmm. So his right side's always tighter because that's the load side. The left side is, y'all live there, so it's always easier for you guys to get on the left side. But, like, when we think about the loading and not getting too tall and be able to get deeper into the glute, get the knee stable, where now he can load more effectively and the leg doesn't straighten out. And then all of a sudden you got that fake turn. Because, like, if you straighten the leg out, I tell people all the time.
Fake turn, man.
So what I tell people all the time, like I used to tell you, like, if you straighten that back leg out, I'm like, you can't jump from there. So if you straighten your legs out and stand in front of me, I'm like, okay, jump. So, like, there's no way you can use the ground that way. The only way you can lose the ground is you got to reroute and you got to reconnect to the ground.
Load that hip, man.
Yeah, it's everything.
Got to load the hip. And that's kind of, you know, where golf is right now, just from a training standpoint, and mm-hmm. how the modern swing is being taught as well. We're taught now, it's like, you want all this hip depth and you want to be able to externally rotate your right arm and shoulder in the downswing. And all of these things sound amazing when a junior golfer or an amateur golfer, a pro golfer walks into a teaching facility and is given all of this information, but you're like, wait, how do I do that? Because, you know, we're in this state now where all we're talking about is how far we can hit the golf ball, how far we can hit the golf ball. But there's just, it's kind of a, you know, these things are headbutting each other a little bit, because it's just going to screw up a lot of people trying to figure out how to do it all.
It is, like, I think just from the training for me, it's, the harder you're swinging, the more velocity you're creating, the more speed you're creating, like, then you have to be able to protect around the joints.
Yeah.
Like, the joint can only go, if you don't have enough muscle built around the joint and create breaks to be able to absorb force, you're never going to be able to create true velocity and create true speed. So what happens is you get a lot of these fake speed things, and that's where you see all the soft tissue. That's where you see the elbows. That's where you start to see more and more wrists and things like that. Because, like, if you're not using the big muscles, you kind of compensate. You're flipping and you're throwing and stuff like that too, to create, because you want more and more speed, more and more speed. So what I tell guys, the speed will take care of itself, but we got to train the brain to move faster. So for me is, I want to give you a band and I want to see how fast you can rotate this band. Like, show me, and you know, we laugh all the time, because I'm like, you see me with guys and I'm like, faster, faster, faster. And he thinks he's going so fast, and he's like, so, I mean, because the brain hasn't really been adaptable to the concept of moving faster. So that's when you think about contrast and the plyometrics and the wall balls and stuff like that. But you got to have the energy system to be able to do it, because if you don't have the energy system to be able to do it, then you're never going to be able to do those things. So my thing is always like, okay, if you want to hit the ball harder, then you have to hit the ball with intent.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I want you to go out there and hit 10 balls as hard as you can with the driver, then take 4 minutes off and then hit another 10 balls as hard as you can. To me, that's true training. Because now you've done it. You actually hit a ball, you know, because, like, you see a lot of the stuff from the speed standpoint, like, they're just swinging stuff as hard as they can.
Yeah.
But it's not really with the intent. So just in my opinion, I'd rather you, Smiley, hit 10 balls and let's see what happens. And then all of a sudden the speed starts climbing.
Yeah. How many players come up to you and bring that up in conversation, say, hey, I want to get longer, I want to get faster?
All of them.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of them. And, like, we're constantly like, yep. And I'm just like, we're good. Like, you know, cause like, I'm not going to sacrifice an injury for speed. So for me, it's like, okay, you want to swing faster, and then we need to get in the gym. We need to address the principles that we need to address. Strength is a component of speed, but training and moving faster is a component to speed also. And now we've got to use it with intent. So if I got you just swinging something just as hard as you can, now all of a sudden, like, just because you're chasing a number from a speed standpoint, it's not a swing you're never going to hit a golf ball with.
Right.
You're literally
right.
Just swinging as hard as you can. So it's like, that's not going to do us any good. Because if you get out there, then you're going to hit it off the earth, because, like, we never hit anything with intent. So for me, it's just an applied science. It's like the training. Like, my training is always a method behind it. You know, the method to the madness is, because, like, it's crazy, but it's like, I'm trying to build a rocket, you know, like I'm not a big periodization guy. Like, you know, like mm-hmm. we always talk about, like they do periodization because periodization wants you to peak at the bowl game, or they want you to, you know, cause they basically tell you like, you can't train like this all the time, because that's why we got to periodize the training, because it's supposed to peak at this. Well, I need you to peak every week. So I'm going to train you, exactly. and you've been with me enough where I want you to, I don't want there to be any let off. Like, we don't want to build an airplane where you level off. I want this.
Oh yeah.
Where now every week it gets better and better. So that was what was good about when I started with Max. Cause Max was, it was funny. We got to the tour championship last year and the Titleist guys came up to me and said, did you talk to Max? And I was like, no, I'm like, what? And he's like, did he tell you about his numbers? I was like, no, like what's going on? And he's like, yeah. Like when, before Max was like outside the top 18 in the world in ball speed. Mm. And then the year, like we started doing all our stuff. And then the year he came in, he was inside the top 10 in ball speed. And then he had some success on the tour, like with a couple wins and a couple stuff, you know, and had a pretty good year in President's Cups and Ryder Cup stuff. So like, and it's just an applied, that's what we're doing. Like we just, and we didn't like focus on X, Y, or Z. We trained his body. We found out the limitations. We eliminated those, and then we built the body to where he can be able to do it. And then, like, the speed was just there. Because all you guys have it, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, my goal is to just be able to take you to a level that you never really dreamed of, like, if we eliminate these things. And it's crazy because when you see the way we train, you're like, oh, well, that's weird. And, like, it's funny what the funniest conversations, even, like, with my NFL guys and my tour players or my MLB guys, like, you know, Paul or Nolan Arenado, they're like, hey, like, what do you call what we do? And I was like, we just train, man. He's like, well, I can't explain it. And you got like Mike Trout in the dugout at the World Baseball Classic. And they're like, what are y'all doing? So I'm sending videos to like Paul in the dugout. And he's showing like Mookie Betts and Mike Trout because they can't explain it, which, you know, but for us, and you know, because you've been in the system for so long, the training concept, like for us, is just training. You know, it's no special. You know, nothing like I'm going to cut you in half. I'm going to break you in the quadrants and I'm going to break you down and I'm going to build you back up. You know, I'm going to build an energy system in you where, you know, it's like it always was, like it was a flatliner. I mean, you know, like your heart rate's been there. So like, let's just keep pushing. Right. So
I know when every time, cause I, you know, I never lived in the same city as you besides just when I was in college, but we only got a small sample size of that for only a couple months before I moved back to Birmingham. So I was always doing these workouts that you would send. I would do them at home and I would try to keep the pace up that we would work out. And when I would work out with you, but every time I always saw you in person for the first time for when it's been a while, you say, come on home because we're going to learn and see where you're at. And every single time you would just absolutely destroy me. But it would take like a day or two and then my body would kind of wake up to it. And it's like, all right, this is, I know how to do this. This is easy. I say it's easy. It's easy because I've been doing it daily for, you know, however many years now, but, it takes discipline, to be able to do these workouts, even when I'm not playing, full time anymore. I still do these workouts as much as I can, you know, with a baby, it makes things a little tougher, but still just be able to do the simple shoulder workouts and all the things you send me. It's just so important.
Yeah, it's just human movement more than anything, like in applied science. So what we try to do is just take that body, see how it moves. You got bipedal locomotion, the pushing and pulling, changing levels and rotation.
Yeah.
And we just basically apply it and we build that system in there. And it's crazy because like when you guys are in it, like the stuff that you see and like Justin and him love this, like you would love it. Like these guys, when they bring another guy in, they're like, okay. Because like you guys don't realize like how in shape you are now, and you like watch this, and we bring a guy in, and it's like, and I'm literally like doing half the stuff with them, and like they just can't do it.
Shoot, that was me last time when I worked out with JT. I don't know if I was just had a bad day, but man, I was sucking wind, dude.
Well, I know JT loved, we still got the video. I should have sent you the video.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm just JT huffing was like, and puffing.
Film him. Yeah.
I mean, I've been working out at home, but like I hadn't seen you for a year or so, so it was definitely deserved. I deserved every bit of that. I'm going to come back better this next week when I see you at the Honda.
Just like old times, baby. Let's go.
All right. So, Colby, this is kind of an interesting conversation about just how much the guys are training on the PGA Tour now, because when you and I got out there, when we were in that truck, I would say that the usual faces we would see was like Zach Johnson, Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah. 20%.
But maybe even less than that. Like there would be three 20%. Or four guys in there when we warmed up in the morning. And in 2024, this is 2016 I'm talking about, but now we're in 2024. What has been the difference you've seen? Because you've seen it all over the last 8 years.
Yeah. Everybody trains now.
Everybody.
Like, it's crazy. Everybody.
Everybody.
Like, everybody has a guy. Everybody has like a, like you see a lot of the physios out there now. Like the concept of taking care of your body now has just reached another pinnacle. You know,
insane.
Like now it's like I said, when you and I were out there, I remember the guy used to joke because it would be you and Loop would be in there every day. I'd have y'all in there. He's like, y'all the only guys in here. And it would be like a couple other guys that were sprinkling. Now, I mean, it's like a territory war. I mean,
you just got to get your spot,
bro,
you know?
Yeah. Like you literally learn how to train people like in a 3x3. It's a phone booth. Like you're literally warming up in a phone booth now. Cause I mean, everybody's in there. I mean, we had probably, the Genesis last week, we probably had 10 guys in there at once, 10 athletes and 10 trainers, you know, so you got 20, 22 people in there, plus the guys that work on tour. So, I mean, it's like, it's crazy.
It's a lot going on.
Even the PGA Tour, like, yeah, so they stepped it up now. And like now they even have like a recovery tent.
Oh,
now,
really?
So like,
oh, it's like the cold tub, right?
There are cold plunges. There's cold plunges, an infrared sauna, like in a recovery tent that travels with the tour now. Like when me and you started, I mean, it was like the trailer was like a 10 by 10.
Yeah.
And now it's like really expanded. And like, I mean, it's crazy now, man. Like it's truly insane just for me to see it over the last 15 years of me being out there 20 years. Like it's nuts. Like how much it's changed. Like just the difference from the training. Okay. And everybody kind of does it.
Because you and
I not afraid to lift weights too. Yeah,
I know. And
like they're in there doing it. They're moving weight.
And you and I brought you with me to the Masters the year I played well. And actually, it was the only year I played, but it's besides the point. So we're getting a workout in the beginning of the week, and I actually remember this because you know there's a lot of downtime for trainers that you just kind of have to hang out and wait for your player to get there. You can't hang out inside of the trailer until your player is ready to work out. So I remember that week you were talking with Joey D outside of that trailer, and I think that I want to say that was the first time you guys had at least spoken, because after that, next thing you know, you're down, you end up making the move down to Jupiter. Is that kind of where it all started? Was right there?
It kind of started there. It actually, I started talking to him. We were in Las Colinas. It was a Dallas tournament that was out there with you guys. And he and I was just sitting out the trailer, and that's what I would do. Like he was out there. He was like one of the main focal guys out there. And so was Randy Myers. And so I would kind of be the young kid and just kind of like walk up.
There weren't many of them.
The old guys would be sitting around and they're like just kind of picking my brain and asking me stuff. And then I was having some success with my guys. So they were always just kind of communicating with me. Great guys. And like just, and me just being who I am, just wanting to learn and like how they did it and like how long they've been doing it and stuff like that. And just became a friendship that we created. And then, and then fast forward like 2 years later, I mean,
you made the move because you made the move to Baton Rouge, right? Like that.
Yeah.
That had to be one of the hardest things you ever did because people from Louisiana, that they're just good people, but they're, you know, there's good folks and good family. It's hard to move away from that.
Yeah. Like for me, it was like, you know, and I mean, I had a great career in Baton Rouge, you know, like, but it was just me. And I guess it goes back to those beginnings and me wanting to push myself and want to like kind of, you know, expect more from myself and just not settle and just want to continue to do great things and try to help as many people as I could. Like it was just something that I just needed to do, you know? And like I said, in Baton Rouge, I mean, I was great there. You know, I was connected with LSU. I was connected with the football world and the baseball world there. And I mean, I had no complaints. My wife and I was, you know, I was good. Like, you know, I had no complaints, but it was like, it was just something in me where I wanted to push myself. And I wanted to challenge myself one more time and see what I can do and see how many more people I could help. And man, I went home and told my wife, I was like, we're moving. Like, I'm going to leave and then I'll pick you and Cameron up in December.
Man.
And she was like, okay. And I mean, literally a week later, I was driving to Jupiter, didn't know a soul. And Joey let me stay at his house and I started there. And within 2 weeks, I was booked. Like I had, the word kind of got out. I think Austin Ernst reached out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you let her know that I was there. And then it just a small world, like guys that I'd worked with in the area, they knew people around. And then it just kind of started snowballing. And it was like Lexi and Michelle Wee and Jessica Korda and then JT and Bud Colling. And it was just boom, it was happening. And we started getting quite a few success, you know, like the girls started winning, the guys started winning. So then it just all just snowballed from there. So
what year did JT come see you?
8 years later. It was 2017.
That was the year he won five times, right?
Yep. Yeah, so that we started that off season.
That off season. So yep. I imagine when he showed up, what did his body look like when he showed up?
Yeah, I mean he was 145 pounds, and he was just like, "I hate working out." I was like, "Okay."
I remember that.
Like, you have to tell me what to do. I'm like, "We got it, we got it." So I got him in there, and I was like, "Okay." And I was like, "Man, you got everything. I mean, you're already good. Like, but I think if we can get you stronger and get you moving better, like this could be a game changer." Mm. And it was. I mean, he went all in. He went from a guy that hated working out. He loves it now. You know, I mean, he literally, we're on the phone. He texts me today. He sends me his Whoop score after everything I send him when I'm not there. And then we'll see each other tomorrow. Like when we're in town, like we train 4 or 5 times a week when we're in town. And even like when he had all that, those wins, it would be the same thing. Like the thing that about JT is, man, he's the ultimate competitor and he will do whatever it takes to get better. Mm-hmm. And to win. And, you know, I remember him winning golf tournaments and like literally him texting me and saying like 9 a.m. tomorrow, like asking me. I'm like, yeah, 9 a.m. tomorrow. You know, so it's like, and he just won. But it was on to the next one. It was on the next one. So it was like, there's no secret. You know, it's just, when you just work, it's just work. You know, you can't cheat the work. I tell people all the time, like, it's what you did. Like what you did so good is like you literally, when you all in, when you buy it all in, it's easy. You know, like it takes care of itself.
Those are the type of guys you want to train. And over the years, I want you to pick who's the best athlete you've ever trained and who's the best athlete that was a golfer that you've ever trained. I think I know the answer to both, but I'm going to see what you say here.
I mean, best athlete is probably Andrew Loop. I mean, he was just
overall athlete.
Yeah, I mean, he was just, I'd say golfer-wise or overall?
Both, yeah. So golfer-wise, yeah. I figured you'd say Andrew Loop because that was a no-brainer. I knew that was coming.
Andrew Loop and probably DJ. I mean, just freak. You know, the stuff that I watch him do in the gym, stuff I make him do, like he's just one of those guys that just makes you mad. He can do everything. You know, he can dunk a basketball, he can throw a football, and like there's no nothing to it. But yeah, I mean, I would probably say you know, DJ Andrew Loop from overall, same, just super explosive, you know, can just jump out of the building.
He's
like just crazy.
Incredible athlete. And so outside of golf, what about other athletes that jump off the page for you?
Probably Landon Collins.
Landon Collins.
Like Landon Collins was just a freak. Like
linebacker or safety?
He was a safety. Looked like a linebacker.
He looked like a linebacker.
I mean, just unbelievable. And guys like Benny Logan, I remember Benny Logan like training and he broke the sled. Like he literally just snapped the metal. God. Like he had we had him doing like these drills on his knees and he had to come up from his knees and just explode like in the extension in the hips and hit the thing and it snapped. God. And he literally broke like a 6-inch piece of metal. Like it's just crazy. Like when you see those guys, like it's truly unbelievable, like how fast, like the Robert Alfords, Tracy Porter, the DBs, you know, like, I mean, just freaky. Corey Webster. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those guys. Like, I mean, I've been so fortunate. And then the quarterbacks, you know, like even with Flynn and those guys and just, you know, you don't, it's just like watching a golfer, man. You watch, you know, I remember we'd be in there and he's like, "You want to throw?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "You want gloves?" I'm like, "No, I'm good. Just throw it." And man, he threw that ball and I'm just like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll take the gloves." Cause like, I mean, it felt like it ripped my hands in half. Like it's just different. It's like watching you guys hit a golf ball and it's like watching these guys throw it. It's just like Drew Locke was in the gym yesterday and we were just, he was throwing the ball like in the gym and it just comes out different. It sounds different. I mean, it's just,
you catching
it's crazy. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, we caught it. Okay. Yeah. But it's like, it's different. Like you catch a couple and you're like, "All right, I'm good." And you rotate, you bring somebody else in. You're like, "All right, you take it
next."
But, yeah, I mean, just freak. I mean, just, you know, you take somebody like Nolan Arenado and like the Brendan Donovans and Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, just, you don't realize it's like just how big they are. Like, I mean, just and how they can move, you know, like playing third base, for the Cardinals, like the best third baseman in baseball. Like just getting to the balls that he gets to is just, and to be able to throw the ball from different arm angles and stuff. I mean, it's just crazy. So we want to train that way too. So I actually put him in those positions and make him train.
Really? Mm-hmm. So like you got him like in full bend and you got 100%. Him just like doing.
So I got you like in a side plank and we're doing like a cable row.
Yeah.
Are we doing a cable press? Are we
yeah,
doing
cable like press a, you know, and like in a plank
like
position.
Like a half kneeling, like if you pick the ball up and he's throwing across his body. So I got him pushing it across. I mean, just, and it simulates exactly what he's doing.
Should come natural to him when he actually gets on the pitch.
Yeah, we've done it in the gym, then it's easy to do on the field.
Wow. You know, I thought you were going to say LSU running back and New England Patriots running back Stephen Ridley. I thought that's the direction you were going to go on that.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick one guy that literally will never, like anything you ask him to, he'll do it.
Oh, you couldn't break him.
You couldn't break him. Like he would just go and go and go and go. Where most guys are like, all right, you know, like. You know, Landon Collins just walk in the gym and like they would have a game where they would just throw money like on the ground and however much money it was, that's how much he had to snatch. And he would just grab it and just do it. Like it didn't matter. Yeah. And he would just take the money. Like it was just, it didn't matter what you put on the bar. Like we were just like, we put $250 on the ground. He just walk in straight from the car, just whack, and just pull it. And I'm like, and I'm just like, what are we doing? Like just crazy, just brute, just strength. Now, Steven. I mean, there's nobody more determined than him. Like, I rehabbed him through two knee injuries. Mm-hmm. Like, he just – I mean, it was amazing to be able to be on like this. But that's, like I said, it's just, man, it's such a blessing to be able to be in that – on that journey with each individual guy because everybody's got their own story. Right?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome just to play a little small part in that or just be there, you know, just to be able to see it.
All right. Well, Colby, let's we have some videos that we're going to queue up here. And we have videos of Tom Kim, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Thomas, Max Homa. We're just going to kind of go through them. And we just talked about all this stuff. And I think this is more for the folks that are going to be watching this on YouTube. They're going to be able to kind of follow along with the videos and kind of see exactly. Because we talk about all this and verbally, it may make sense to some, but others, they might be able to watch it and be like, okay, I see what he's talking about. So why don't we start with Tom Kim, a recent guy that's come to you. And we talked about, here's a guy that played a bunch on the Asian tour, Japan tour. Actually, I don't think he played on the Japan tour. But Tom shows up. He hits it real straight, but big guy, but doesn't necessarily have a ton of speed yet. But we know it's in there.
Yep. So, I mean, a perfect example is like, I mean, you're looking at the video. I mean, these are the things that we addressed when we first met. He's got great hands. He can get the club on the ball. He hits it really straight, but we don't have that extra gear. So we looked at from a loading pattern on how he would load his hips. And he had issues from a mobility standpoint and from a stability standpoint as well. So what we did was we used a strap. And then basically what that strap is doing is it's assisting him into internal rotation. So that's why he's reaching across his midline and the inside leg. So as he loads and goes into the lunge, that inside leg is internally rotating and the thoracic spine is rotating into the knee. So we call that kind of like cover the knee. So if he was like in his golf posture, that's what he would look like in there. So if we clean up the loading pattern and all of a sudden now we're going to be able to create a little more speed, a little more velocity, because now that exercise there, it's into his left hip, because if he doesn't have the brakes to be able to stabilize, if I'm trying to create speed, he's going to come out of it. So this is a great drill for him to stay in his shot.
And I think here's another video of him going the other way, I believe.
Yep, it's the same thing. So, like, that was the next video was us at Genesis. So, that was in the offseason before he left. And last week, this is us in the Genesis, and we're doing the same thing. So, we're just reinforcing. Right, so, what I do – So, what I do with my guys is we're always working the patterns. You know, we're never done with the patterns. It's just like you. Like, if you train with me long enough, like, we're going to do specific things that you're going to do over and over and over again. So, when I got you doing something on single leg – or if I got you working, it's always reinforcing the pattern. So I'm trying to get the foot more stable, the ankle more mobile, the knee more stable, the hip more mobile, the lumbar spine more stable, and the thoracic spine more mobile. So that's how we address those things. So for Tom, it's creating load into the right hip and creating the unload into the left hip.
Okay. And Max Homa, another guy that has had a ton of success that you mentioned earlier here in the podcast. And if I recall, like when he showed up to Mark Blackburn, he had some serious limitations in what he was able to do with his body. And I imagine that when he showed up to you, and Mark probably works hand in hand with you on this, is like, hey man, he can't go to his left side or his right side. What do we do to fix Max?
So yeah, it was all about Mac was all about trying to get Max to be able to load, but also try to create a little more space and mobility in his hips. So for me, like I'll basically want, like what we're doing right here on his single leg is like, we're giving him internal rotation on the load. And then when he comes up in the post, he's in external rotation. So the opposite goes in. And it goes out. Yeah. So what we're trying to do is when we look at just the right leg, that's internal rotation on the downward. And then as he comes up, that's external rotation away from it. So what we're doing is reinforcing those patterns. And then I'm challenging his stability on the right leg too. And that's why it goes to the single leg post and we add the rotation to it. So my thing for Max is Max is a sneaky good athlete. So for him, he enjoys the dynamic stuff, like the stuff where he feels like it's more of a challenge and it's not, I don't like to do, when you watch my Instagram or, you know, and you know me, like I like to recruit as many muscle fibers as possible. I'm not a really big static guy where it's just kind of like the run of the mill, like just a row or something like that. I'm always going to make something out of it. I'm going to challenge you a little more specifically to be able to recruit more muscle fibers, more motor units. And then now your body just becomes better.
I mean, I remember doing bicep curls, standing on a Bosu ball with one leg. And when I got home to my home gym and people were looking at me like, what are you doing? I was like, man, I got everything like tight and working together to try to do this bicep curl.
Absolutely. Like most people say, well, just do a bicep curl. But like, there's so many other things we're trying to accomplish with you. Cause my goal is I don't want the athlete to think about anything. Like my goal is like, I just do this. And like you said, they hate it. Like, you know, like I'll have them do specific things and they're ones that they can't stand. Justin Thomas, Max Homa, like they absolutely hate the exercises, some of them that I pick, but they know it's the best ones for them. So
mine right now is the one, which I think we have of Tommy Fleetwood doing it. Maybe I think we do. Uh-huh. Let's go to the one with Tommy. This is my current least favorite K Wayne workout that he gave me. And I tried to do it with you in the gym last time. And I'm falling all over the place.
There we go. So when Tommy came to me, you know, we had a hinging problem. Like he didn't really hinge good enough for his hips. So if he didn't hinge enough, then what he would do is he would kind of just stand up on it in a backswing, and then he would have to reroute it and do this crazy little move on his downswing, and it just kind of like messed all his swing up. So for me, like we really started from a pattern standpoint is all about hinging. So what this exercise is I got him on a single leg. So it's like a single leg RDL. Yep. And then you can see the bands pulling him toward the wall. So it's forcing his glute medius on his left side to be able to stabilize. If he doesn't stabilize and he can't stop that band from pulling, he's going to fall over to his left. And that's what would happen in a swing. When guys usually pop out of their golf posture in their downswing is because they don't have enough strength on the left side to be able to hold the position and deliver the club into that posted left side, that strong left side. So what this is really dynamic. It's forcing him to use his left leg in a hinging pattern where he comes out of it. And he posts up into that extension and that hip extension. But with the knee drive also is teaching that flexion and extension in the glute in the right leg.
Right.
So now it's such a multi-dynamic move pattern where it's going across his midline. So I'm really challenging him. This is a very, very dynamic, specific movement that he's killing, by the way. I mean, it's awesome to watch.
Well, he's on rep 98 right now.
He's on rep 98. That's like you doing. Yeah, that's like you doing it. But Paul, it was good. So, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I saw Paul Goldschmidt doing this exact same workout, and I DM'd you, and I was like, "Bro, how much weight is he moving here?" Because I literally can on the cable machine, I go to like the 12 and a half. Like that's how low I have to keep it without falling over. And looked like Paul was doing like the 32.5 or something.
He was probably doing that 32-41 something.
That
like
That is just mind blowing.
And it's cool because like when you think about just the stimuli, right, just a little bit of that change, like even that's just a band. That's just like a 25-pound resistance band that we're using there. But it's a progressive load. So any stimuli that we can put on the body to make it adapt, I mean, it's a game changer. I mean, it's a complete game changer. And then we did this, and then less than a month later, he won his first tournament. And the last couple of years. So, I mean, in Dubai. So,
hey, Charlie, can you pull up the two other videos that we can just rip through of Tommy? I believe he's in that hinge to kind of a power over mm-hmm. his head. But also the loading yeah. one. Oh, here's the loading one. Yeah. You and I talked about this earlier, Colby.
How yeah, good so this is a great one. So this is all about the lower half. This is all about the legs, the lower body. So for Tommy, he's like we talked about before from a hinging pattern, but it's really getting him to use his legs more in his downswing. So we got to get stronger. So we use a slant board and we feed into that internal rotation into the hip. That's why the chest and everything rotates toward the leg. The inside ankle bone stays high to where now he just feels it more in his glute instead of a quad. You know, a lot of times people are quad and calf dominant, so the glutes really don't work. So this is a great activation for him from a glute standpoint where he really feels that glute having to work and keep that knee stable.
That one's a really good one. I did it the other day. And yeah, I tell you what, instantly I could start to feel just mm-hmm. being able to kind of transfer that weight into my lead and in my trail hip on the yeah. that backswing and downswing. That was like an instant one where I was like, okay, legs are strong. Yeah. And I also feel that I can yeah. break on both sides.
Yeah. And that connection with the ground too. So it's all about the big toe. Like for him, he's really feeling that big toe pressure on that left foot where it's not coming off the thing and rolling it to the outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense, too.
So we always want my guys to feel the big toe. Feel the big toe, and then you create the stability more to be able to generate more force. If you kick the foot up and now you're in all completely on your heel and on the side of your foot, it's a power gap.
So the people that are watching this on YouTube, you wouldn't start them with this one, would you, Colby? This is kind of the advanced. This is like this is AP English. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Like, this is definitely advanced. Like what I basically would start them with is basically just a ground lunge, you know, and then graduate them to maybe like an elevated on a box lunge where the front foot's elevated. And then we start to gradually, as the leg gets stronger, the adductors get stronger, the glute medius gets more and more developed and strong to be able to handle it. Then we start moving into more of these advanced movements.
I just had to bring that up for the people like, all right, I'm going to my gym tomorrow morning.
Yeah, here we
I'm
go.
Gonna get these 25s, I'm gonna get this slant board up there, and then I'm gonna fall over on my first rep.
Yeah. Correct.
All right, Charlie, can you pull up the next one where Tommy's in that split stance? And this is actually a cool speed power move that it looks like he's kind of training the fast twitch muscles and something like this.
This is exactly what we're doing. So this is a split press. So what I'm getting him to do is use the ground. So he starts off and he wants to push off the ground, and then he catches himself in that split stance. And as he pushes and splits, he's driving the weight up. Mm-hmm. So it's a great, great multifaceted, multi-joint explosive power move that we try to do with my athletes because it's all about using your whole body.
Yeah, that's a great one. I did it. I keep humble bragging that I did all these the other day.
It's good. Yeah, just lock it out from the top. So it's like a lot of times if you get right side, left side bias. So that's why we do it with dumbbells, because you can't cheat. If it was a straight bar, you know, if his right side was stronger, then of course he would probably hold the bar more with his right side. Okay. So my goal is to be able to, that's why we do a lot of dumbbell work, a lot of cable work and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, Tommy, seems like he's in a good spot. Tommy's on rep 150 after all these loops on YouTube. So he's got his workout in this evening. Let's turn our attention to JT to finish up with this group.
So JT, so it's like I told you before, we're always trying to address the right hip. So this is a great, great exercise where he's literally, I have the band trying to pull his knee and his leg toward the wall. It forces his glute to work. Mm-hmm. It forces the glute medius to stabilize the knee, so the knee stays there. You can see how good and stable the foot is. And then what we do is now we lift the leg and put him in the hip flexion, and then now he rotates his chest toward the right leg. So it's almost like if you would split him into his golf posture, that's him basically loading into his backswing.
He makes it look really easy here, Colby, because this isn't that easy. Like naturally, most people's left leg are going to want to follow where this ball is going, correct?
Yeah, he's really good, and you can really see. So what I'm looking for when I have him do this exercise is you don't see how the left leg just kind of goes over with the ball too, where he's just kind of twisting. So he's got really good neuromuscular and dynamic stability and control of his pelvis, because what we always say, if you can control the pelvis, you can control the golf swing. So what we're doing here is just addressing those patterns, just forcing him to go more and more deeper neuro to be able to stabilize that hip, to be able to receive that load.
Okay, cool. And this next video that Justin's doing is a pretty dynamic one where it's you have a lot of pushing and pulling, which is something that I feel like in every workout that you've ever sent me, I have some form of pushing and pulling. It's kind of best of both worlds in this one.
So this is a golf swing. So he's literally, you feel the right leg on that box. Mm-hmm. And we got the front foot's elevated. He sinks into his load, which is deep into that lunge position. So he gets in the left hip flexor and opens that up. And then he's pushing, actually. As he pushes into that plate, that step right there, that bench, he's literally driving from his hip. And that's what's creating the pull from the arms. And as he sinks, the weight from the cable is actually increasing his thoracic mobility.
Yeah.
So we're loading, and that's what I want him to feel in this golf swing. I want him to feel the power, like he's driving his foot as hard as he can into that box. And that's why we keep it a little elevated, because you can get a little deeper on the down.
Man, I'm just picturing Justin Thomas doing this in the tour trailer with 20 other guys and trainers there, and he's just whacking somebody behind him.
Everybody's a fence for themselves. Everybody's running around.
Oh, man.
And it's cool because I'll bring my bands and stuff, so we'll do stuff outside if we got to. Like, you know me, I bring everything.
Let's talk about those bands, Colby. I mean, Burn 180 is something that's a project of yours that for the longest time, you know, it's like we would always bring our bands just in case, like, the trailer was tight. But you came up with this invention for people to travel with.
Yeah, it was just something like, you know, like for so long, we just try to find places, like we'd be in hotel gyms and like you're literally tying a band on a treadmill, and then someone comes in there and they need the treadmill. So it's like you're constantly moving it or trying to hold it and do stuff. So they finally came up with a way that we can do it where we can travel. So it's literally a suction cup that you just put to a glass or a mirror or anything it does. The way the patent's made, it holds it in place. You can clip the bands to it. And then you have your own gym. So like I've trained people like in hotel rooms where it's on the sliding glass door. Mm-hmm. Any gym you can go into, it sits on the wall. It sits on a drywall. I mean, I've brought it to, you know, golf courses. You can put it on the front of a golf cart and do like your rotational exercises, your warm up, all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm super excited about it. We're finishing up the last final stages of it. And then we're going to be in Dick's Sporting Goods. So
let's go.
It already came out. Yeah. So so once we get all the finalization of all that stuff, then we're going to be able to get it to as many people as we can. So it's going to be awesome.
Okay. And Colby, for all the people that just listen to this that are now inspired, and I guess it's not quite, we're out of January now, but a lot of people, start of the year, they're trying to get more healthy, but also like it's golf season's right around the corner and they hear all this and they're excited about how do I get in the weight room and do all this. For you, what would be your best advice for somebody to try to learn how to do these exercises that you all train at the stable down in at Joey D's gym?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the big thing is just movement. Like, I mean, if you think about it, if you're a golfer, like there are a couple things that like you want balance. So man, start getting on one leg and your right leg and your left leg. Like even if you're doing a dumbbell curl or if you're doing a row or you're doing a press, like do one side and do the other side. Cause like when you think about golf, you got to load one side and you got to unload to the other side. So anything that you can do to kind of like break that up. And then the balance is everything. And then the big thing is the rotary. So do some rotations, do split stance rotations, regular rotations with a cable, with a band, with a med ball, like anything you can do that can simulate those movement patterns. And then you'll be close and knowing your way for sure. But movement's medicine. The more you move, the better.
Yeah, that makes sense. And just get the blood flowing. Some I'm sure you do every morning. And also a question here. So if I'm going to go try to figure out how much hip mobility that I do have, and I can't make it all the way down to Jupiter to come see Colby down at the gym to measure that, is there a way that I can go to a fitness instructor in town and say, hey, can you measure my hip mobility? Or are they going to measure it as accurately as y'all kind of check it in?
Yeah, I mean, any facility, like when you ask about the screening and stuff like that, if they use a goniometer, they can basically tell you what your hip mobility is.
I feel like that's important.
So like if anybody has that, like anybody you go to, like a fitness professional or something, like they should have something. Like you try to get with people that usually just kind of can assess where you are and how you're moving and stuff. And then from there, like once you know what's going on, then you know, like if the hips aren't mobile, then it's usually a glute problem. So I would do a ton of glute bridges and side bridges and planks and hip circles and cars and just moving your hip better. and doing those things. Windshield wipers, lateral band walks, anything that addresses those things. And then all of a sudden your hip mobility and step, and especially like balance, like doing those balance drills that you're seeing on the YouTube videos that you have there, like just up standing on one leg and just rotating, like all that stuff makes a difference.
Yeah. And there's plenty of videos that you can find on Instagram as well. I mean, you can follow K Wayne Fitness on Instagram. He posts from a lot of his athletes on his page as well. So you can kind of get some of these exercises that you can just make sure you bookmark and use. And I'm sure Joey D posts as well. But then also our boy, Justin Thomas, his friend, and also my friend, Stallion Fitness. So I have to give him a shout out as well. He definitely puts out some great content for anybody that's looking to learn how to move better and effectively become a better athlete and a better golfer. So Colby, this has been fun.
Yes, sir.
You're my boy. I can't wait to see you soon. And first off, I just want to say as well, so proud of, you know, all that you've been able to accomplish in this fitness game. You've completely turned the fitness game and golf totally upside down, and it's the stable is on top, and it's always been on the top for me, but just to know how much how impressive it's been. It's been fun doing this ride with you, my man.
Yeah, well, look, man, I'm not crazy. I know every moment that I've had from a success standpoint, it all started with you. So I appreciate you being on my journey as well.
Not just me. I definitely did a couple cat cows right for the get go. And if you know what a cat cow is, you can go check
it out.
You're
still the OG, though. I'm going to get you a hat that's going to say OG stable.
Yeah. The inside joke on this before we go is Justin and Colby are stretching, and Colby tells me to do some cat cows. And next thing you know, I've been doing cat cows for like 10 minutes. They're like, dude, what are you doing?
Correct. Yes. I gave you three things and I looked over and you were still on one.
Still doing cat cow as well. I miss you, seeing you every week in the gym. I know I'm gonna see you soon. So again, appreciate you, my man, and we'll see you soon.
Can't wait.
The Smiley Show is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.